Hello, it is week 12 in the NFL, and my name is Aiden.
And my name is Matthew. This is Pick Play, a football podcast. We're going to go through the slate of NFL games, make our picks, tell you why we're taking the teams that we're going to take them, and we've got some specialty picks we like to make along the way, crush picks and tough toss-up games. More on those in a minute, but we took a week off last week.
We did.
I can't remember why.
I overslept.
Oh, yes, you overslept. Mm-hmm. That's happening a lot here in the old COVID times. Anyways, but we're good to go this week, man. It's we're going to go. Thanksgiving has happened already. The two games on Thanksgiving were interesting, to say the least. Just say the least.
Mm-hmm. First time since 1959 that all teams played on Thanksgiving had a losing record.
Oh, wow. Seriously?
Yeah.
That's you could win like a trivia in a bar with that, but then I'd question why you're in a bar because you're not old enough.
Right.
But it's good. That's a good trivia question. Moving on, we're going to so we took last week off, so we need a recap of how we did in week 10, Aiden, with our picks, and week 11 as well. And maybe because we, you know, a friend of ours reached out about it, we've also got the year to date, how many picks we have right for the entire year to this point. So give us a little lowdown of what we got going on.
As of week 10, I got 8 picks correct. You got 9 picks correct. For week 11, I got 8 picks correct. You got 6 picks correct. And the year to date, somehow we both have exactly 100 picks correct on the year right now.
Yeah, that's
kind of crazy.
It's mostly because I had a really rough week last week.
Yeah, you got 6 picks correct. I see that.
That's not very good. Just so everybody knows.
I think I got like both things that we differed on correct. So
yes, that would be accurate. And then there were a lot of crazy upsets and surprises. Things like, you know, I don't know. I can't remember them off the top of my head.
A lot.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was just a lot. Dolphins losing.
Anyways, to the Broncos. That's the most memorable one for you.
Yeah. Hey, but I didn't crawl in a corner and cry like you did the week prior with the Bills.
They didn't throw up a 50-yard touchdown pass on the last play of the game in triple coverage, did they?
No, they did not. Anyways, all right, so we're moving on to our... Well, before we move on to the week 12 stuff, we didn't do crush picks and tough toss-up games for week 11, but we did for week 10. A reminder, crush picks are games that we think are going to be decided by 17 points or more, and the tough toss-up games are games decided that we think are going to be decided by 6 points or fewer. So give us a recap of how we did in week 10 with those.
As far as crush picks go, I got mine incorrect. I picked Green Bay to crush Jacksonville. Green Bay won that game 24-20, 4-point margin, not 17. You also got yours correct. You picked New Orleans to crush San Francisco. That didn't happen, but New Orleans did win 27-13, 14-point margin, not 17. Tough toss-up games. I got mine incorrect as well. I picked Cincinnati and Pittsburgh to be a tough toss-up game. Pittsburgh won that game 36-10, 26-point margin, not 6.
That should have been your crush pick.
Apparently. And the other one should have been my tough toss-up game. Who would have thought? You also got yours incorrect, though, as you picked Seattle and the Rams to be a tough toss-up game. The Rams won that game 23-16, 7-point margin, not 6.
No.
Very close, six. Though.
1 point away.
Yes.
Which is why we chose, you know, 6 points or fewer as the margin for the tough toss-up games, because they are harder to pick that way.
No teams on bye this week.
There are no teams on a bye this week, which is kind of fantastic. And then we were talking about some stuff over the past 2 weeks, and you have started already doing early mock drafts.
Yes, this is my way too early mock draft.
Right, but you know, your way too early is actually like, not Mel Kiper, Todd McShay's like third version. He does one like the day after the first, you know, the previous draft. It's kind of nuts. Anyways, so you've already started that. So what we have decided to do is we're going to, you know, talk about these teams, we're going to talk about the games, but you're also going to talk about who you kind of see them picking in the draft in their current positions where they are.
Right. These aren't projections of where they're going to end the season. This is as of, I believe, last week, where they would be picking.
At the end of last week, where they would have at the end of week 10 where they would have been picking. So that's going to be fun.
We won't do it for the Thursday games just because they're already played.
Yes. Yeah, the Houston Texans defeated the Detroit Lions 41-25. And then the Washington football team defeated the Dallas Cowboys 41-16.
Odd how both winning
Thanksgiving
teams
as well.
41 points.
41 points for
not
both of the winning teams.
Either.
No, it's not. Not at all. But that means we're on to the Sunday games. And,
I will say, the Houston Texans, as of last night, I believe, released Kenny Stills.
Did they really?
They released Kenny Stills.
The Dolphins can pick him back up.
Mm.
We need receivers.
He said he wanted to go to a playoff contender.
Yeah, well, duh, because he wants to get a ring before he retires. Who doesn't want to go to a playoff contender? Wait. Are you saying the Dolphins are not a playoff contender? Just realize that.
Dude, they're not. They're not making it past the first round.
Well, okay, fair enough. I guess by very nature of not making past the first round, you're not a contender. Anyways, we move on to our Sunday games, and the first one is
the Las Vegas Raiders at 6-4, heading to Atlanta to play the 3-7 Falcons. As far as draft picks go, Las Vegas, I had their first round pick being Jay Tufele, defensive tackle out of USC. And their second round pick being Sage Surratt, wide receiver out of Wake Forest. For Atlanta, I had their first round pick being Dylan Moses, linebacker out of Alabama. And their second round pick being arguably the greatest name in the draft, Kwity Paye, defensive end out of Michigan.
Kwity Paye. K-W-I-T-Y, last name P-A-Y-E. Kwity Paye will get paid at some point. In the near future,
sure.
To play football in the National Football League. We'll have to see if it's with the Falcons or not, but I like where everything is heading. As far as the game is concerned, the Las Vegas Raiders are a pretty impressive football team, and the way that they continue to be in games, I know that they're not dominant in one way, shape, or form, but they are a gutty and a gritty football team that continues to kind of get better as the season goes on. You can really see that I think Mike Mayock and Gruden have put together a plan that is going to work. They may not make the playoffs this year. I think they there's a very likelihood that they could. But if they don't, it's okay. They're on track, I think, to kind of be a playoff contender next year and actually kind of maybe be dominant at division. I think the only thing is they're constantly up against Kansas City. But as they showed last week, they played Kansas City tough, and they almost beat them again. So we'll have to wait and see. Again, the Falcons are in term mode. They've already started their process to rebuild, and I don't see a way that they can beat the Raiders. The Raiders are just a better football team.
I 100% agree. They're on the road, but that's really the only thing going in Atlanta's favor. I'm going to take the Raiders. I'm going to feel comfortable.
Yep.
Our next game is the LA Chargers at 3-7, heading to Buffalo to play the 7-3 Bills. For draft picks, the Chargers, I have their first round pick as Marvin Wilson, defensive tackle out of Florida State, and their second round pick being Asante Samuel, cornerback out of Florida State. So two Florida State players going to the Chargers.
Nice.
For Buffalo, I have their first round pick being Carlos Basham Jr., defensive end out of Wake Forest, and their second round pick being Tyson Campbell, cornerback out of Georgia. Bills are coming off a bye and a loss.
Yes.
I feel very comfortable picking the Bills here.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be playing with some fire here. And if they lose, I think that they're in trouble of maybe dropping the division lead, honestly, to the Dolphins down the road, considering they play the Jets this week. And a loss for the Bills basically means the division is knotted up there. But I'm going to take the Bills. They're at home and coming off a bye and a loss. I feel good about this game.
The only thing, and it's interesting because the Chargers don't have a great record, right? But everybody is buzzing about Justin Herbert and how well he's playing. And he's playing awesome, and they've lost a lot of close games, which is the staple in the MO of Chargers under Anthony Lynn. But this is one of those situations where if there's any defense that I think would come in and really kind of hammer the Chargers, it used to be the Bills, but the Bills are not the same defense. And I'm a little worried that the Chargers are going to run up the score. And I think if they get into that issue again, does the same thing happen with the Bills that happened against Kansas City, where they fall a little flat in being able to keep up? I think the Bills are the better team by far, and I'm going to pick them to win this game. But I don't think it's more than 7 points, if that at all. Like, I think it's going to be a close game, and I'm a little concerned about this game. I'm not going to lie. I hope that the Bills do not come out of their bye week flat, I guess is kind of like my feeling. Do you have any idea how the Bills have done out of the bye week under McDermott in the past couple of years?
I don't have that stat now.
No.
That being said, I will say you're making a grave mistake there. You are comparing Patrick Mahomes to Justin Herbert.
No. I'm not comparing the two of them. I'm just saying this offense does put up points. They move the ball, they put up points. So I'm just concerned that if they get into another shootout mode, does what happened against the Chiefs come back into like Josh Allen's head? Oh my gosh, are we going to be able to pull this off? Like, does that come back into the player's mind frame? That's all I'm saying.
The other thing is, when we played the Chiefs, we didn't have like any linebackers. We had struggling cornerback core. We're getting so many players back this week. We're getting Levi Wallace back. I believe we're getting Josh Norman back. We're getting Dane Jackson back. We're getting our entire secondary back, essentially.
You're not getting John Brown back, though, are you?
I don't know that, but I genuinely don't think it's going to matter. I think the Bills should easily win this game.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. Hey, listen, are you done with that game?
Yes.
Okay, so before we move on, breaking news, and it's about a team that's not... we're not going to talk about, so we should probably just point it out, but the Lions have parted ways with Matt Patricia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's about time.
It is about time.
I think it's insane how that happened before the Jets parted ways with Adam Gase, but...
Right.
Okay.
Well, and they have also parted ways with general manager Dan Quinn. Yes. Dan. Bob Quinn. Sorry, not Dan Quinn. Who's Dan Quinn?
Dan Quinn's the Falcons' old head coach.
Thank you very much. I was like... I know that name from somewhere, but I can't place it. Yes, so they fired Patricia and general manager Bob Quinn. The Lions have a new owner. You know, it's still in the Ford family, but it's a new member of the Ford family, and she has finally kind of... she hasn't said very much. She hasn't, like, done much in as far as talking. And the Ford family doesn't typically do that anyway as owners of the Lions, but I like the fact that one of the first thing she's doing to make her voice heard is getting rid of the mediocrity that has been there over the last 5 years.
Their front office has been lackluster, to say the least.
Oh, yes. Yes, it has indeed. All right, what do we got next?
Our next game is the New York Giants at 3-7-1, heading to Cincinnati to play the 2-7-1 Burrowless Bengals.
Burrowless.
Draft picks. New York Giants have their first round pick as Gregory Rousseau, defensive end out of Miami. He's a stud. I think he's going to be really good in the NFL. And second round pick, Jackson Carmen, tackle out of Clemson. For Cincinnati, I have their first round pick as Penei Sewell, tackle out of Oregon. And their second round pick as Jason Owe, defensive end out of Penn State. So Burrow went down last week.
Yes, he did.
For the season, he's done. It's kind of depressing.
For him.
I feel bad for him, man. He was on track to win Rookie of the Year, at least in my opinion.
What?
Now the Bengals.
That's a very big sigh, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I liked the kid.
I like the kid too. I don't dislike the kid. I mean, I'm not... I have feelings for him like you have for Phillip Rivers.
ACL, MCL tear. That's really tough.
Yeah, his season... he may not begin next season even.
Yeah. And they play a Giants team that really needs a win to keep up with the football team and the Eagles now.
Yes.
In the very tight division race that is the NFC East, where all the teams have 3 wins except for the football team now, which has 4. Who's starting for the Bengals? Who is it? Was it Brandon Allen or something?
Yes, that's exactly right.
I'm sorry.
That's a good memory.
Sorry, he's just not going to get it done. I'm going to pick the Giants.
I'm not going to lie. Brandon Allen does not even sound like a quarterback to me.
That's the most nondescript name.
Nondescript athletic name ever. Something along that, you know, it's like, oh, wait, yeah, you know, Brandon Allen, that Parcheesi champion.
Which is not funny, but okay.
Come on, man. Anyways, I agree with you. I feel like, first of all, I don't want to give... I don't want to talk about this game without giving the Giants their proper due, and I do feel like that they are getting better. Like, throughout the middle part of the season, they're starting to play a little bit better, mostly on defense, which has kind of helped them stay in games, which has kept their offense from being one-dimensional, and I think that, you know, that can't go without being mentioned. And I think if Burrow was still there, I'm not sure that I still wouldn't pick the Giants, actually, in this game. I'm going to pick the Giants to win this game. I think they can definitely beat the Cincinnati Bengals, especially with Brandon Allen at quarterback. But I would not, you know, I might have done the same thing even if Burrow was still there. So we wish Joe Burrow all the best in his recovery. Hopefully he can make it back quickly. But he may miss the beginning of next season, according to some of the medical reports. I am picking the Giants, and we are moving on.
Our next game is the Cleveland Browns at 7-3, heading to Jacksonville to play the 1-9 Jaguars. Cleveland's first round pick, Quincy Roche, linebacker out of Miami, and second round pick, Chris Olave, wide receiver out of Ohio State. The Jaguars have a trough of picks, honestly. They have 4 picks in the first 2 rounds. First round picks, I have Justin Fields, quarterback out of Ohio State, and Samuel Cosmi, tackle out of Texas. Second round picks, I have Paulson Adebo, cornerback out of Stanford, and Brevin Jordan, tight end out of Miami. It's a lot of picks.
That is a lot of picks, but you know, they're hopefully they use them wisely. I like the fact that you gave him Justin Fields out of Ohio State. If for some reason the Jets can muster up 2 wins and it becomes a, you know, a tight race, I think they would definitely want to take Trevor Lawrence. The interesting thing is they could actually take a hometown guy if they waited, but I don't know that they are willing to do that. If they go, yeah, they could go to Kyle Trask with one of their picks later, because he's a late first round, beginning of second round type of guy to me, at least at this point from what I see. Even if he wins the Heisman, I kind of feel like he's still in that level. But you never know. You never know how they're going to see him or feel about him. So it'll be interesting to see. As far as the game is concerned, how are you feeling about these two teams? And I mean, it should be
pretty
cut
obvious.
And dry. Yeah, I mean.
Look, I will say for the first time in a long time, I believe in about like 15, 20 years maybe, the Browns have a better record than the Ravens.
Yes.
It's the first time in a long time.
And it might continue that way for another couple weeks.
At least this week, I'm
yes.
pretty sure.
We'll talk about that game coming up soon.
Yeah, especially this week, though, because the Browns play the Jaguars. I'm sorry, Jaguars. You're not good.
Well, I mean, it's interesting again, you know. It seems like Gardner Minshew is healthy enough to play, but they're still going to start... what's his name? Or my goodness, I can't remember.
Mike Glennon.
Thank you very much. The formidable Mike Glennon will start over Gardner Minshew.
I'm taking the Browns, if that wasn't already obvious.
Yeah, I'm taking the Browns as well. Even though this game's at home, I would not be surprised if I hope the Browns don't do a Browns thing and look past this team, because I can
see that is a very Browns
thing. I can totally see that happen. All right, I'm taking the Browns to win as well, and we are moving on to our next game, which is
the Tennessee Titans at 7-3, heading to Indy to play the 7-3 Colts. Tennessee, I have their first round pick as Alex Leatherwood, tackle out of Alabama, and their second round pick as Liam Eichenberg, tackle out of Notre Dame. Yes, I made a mistake of having them take 2 tackles. Deal with it.
Hey, you never know, man. They might need to rebuild those trenches.
Yeah. Indy, first round pick, Kyle Pitts, tight end out of Florida, who I think he's going to be really good in the NFL too. And second round pick, Mac Jones, quarterback out of Alabama.
Yes, because they desperately need
a new quarterback.
They need
yes.
a new quarterback for the future, for sure.
Not named Phillip Rivers.
They need a quarterback for the future, for sure.
They need any quarterback not named Phillip Rivers.
Again, I'd like to just hate real Phillip Rivers. I just, it's sad. Sad. Have you talked to Jesus about that yet?
I don't know how they're 7-3. They don't deserve to be 7-3. They deserve to be like...
They're a good football team.
4-6
They are a very good football team. An excellent defense.
They have an excellent defense.
And I think the Tennessee Titans are starting to play worse throughout the rest of the season than they had early in the season. They're injured. They're dealing with a lot of injuries, and I don't feel like they're as dominant as they were in years past. So I think this is going to be a great game. I think this is going to be a very, very good game. Back and forth. Close.
I'm taking the Titans.
I'm taking the Colts. We've got our first differing pick of the week.
I might just pick against the Colts the entire rest of the season, no matter who they play. Just because
hate Philip Rivers and all of his kids and his wife.
Yep. Just despite them.
I know. Yeah. It's sad. It's weird. It's very strange.
We'll move on to our next game.
Which is?
The Miami Dolphins at 6-4 heading to New Jersey to play the 0-10. Still, Adam Gase-led Jets. For draft picks, Miami also has 4 in the first 2 rounds. Kind of insane.
Yeah, we do.
First round, I have them taking Jamar Chase, wide receiver out of LSU, and Trey Smith, guard out of Tennessee. In the second round, I have them taking Nick Bolton, linebacker out of Missouri, and Travis Etienne, running back out of Clemson. Do you want to react to that now, or do you want me to do the Jets first?
No, go ahead, do the Jets.
All right, for the Jets, I have their first-round pick being Trevor Lawrence, quarterback out of Clemson.
Biggest bust in first-round history since Jamarcus Russell.
Second round, I have them taking Dylan Raiden's tackle out of North Dakota State.
Yeah, I like the picks for the Dolphins. I think getting a top running back like Etienne in the second round would be awesome. You know, you don't want to take him in the first round, but he could be an Elliott or, a Barkley or somebody like that at the next level. I definitely think he has the vision for it. I think as he gets a little stronger, it'll be even better.
He has set a record in his conference for most rushing yards in his career.
This is true.
College career.
This is true. So I like it. I like it a lot. And some additional wide receiver help and on the line, the offensive line, again, continue to build there.
Also, excellent. I will say for the podcast's sake, I did not do trades, which is, I bring that up because I do think the Jets would likely trade back if they do get the first pick.
Well, I guess it kind of depends on whether they keep Gase, whether the new guy thinks that Darnold is good enough.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot at stake there. You know what? Next year, when we get close to the draft and you do that draft podcast, you could predict that. Because, interestingly enough, you did predict a few trades, I feel like, in your final mock that ended up taking place that night. You had a lot of picks correct on the night one of the draft.
I'm good at doing mock drafts.
Yes, you are. Okay.
My speciality.
What about the game?
I'm not going to talk about the game much because it's an easy pick long as Adam Gase is a head coach.
Listen, I am worried. I'm not going to lie.
You're always worried.
I am worried. Well, this is like... We lost to the Denver Broncos last week. We should not have lost to the Denver Broncos last week.
You think you're
going to
get beat by an inferior team twice in a row?
I'm a little worried about it. I'm just going to say it that way. Now, there's one thing that is interesting about this. I'm going to pick the Dolphins.
I am too.
And I do feel like they should and could and will win. However, I still believe that the Jets are going to get a win somewhere, and I just don't want it to be here. So hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully
the thing is it won't be against the Bills because we've already played them twice.
Right. Have they played the Patriots twice?
No.
Oh, man. Can you imagine if it's the Patriots? That would be hysterical. Just came across the wire about an hour ago that Tua has been downgraded to doubtful for this game, and most likely Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to start.
It also recently came across the news that Myles Gaskin is active for this game.
Yes, but Ahmed is out. So
correct.
So it's interesting that they're going to have a lot of
They're most likely not going to need Ahmed if you have Gaskin.
Right, but they're going to have a lot of new pieces of the puzzle moving around at the beginning of this. You know, I trust Fitzpatrick to run this offense. I don't think there's, you know, too much of a step back there at all. But, I just wonder if it's going to mean that they're not going to get out of the gates running. You know, like, they've scored a lot in the first quarter this year, which is not an MO of the Dolphins typically. I'm worried that that's not going to happen. And if they have to play catch up and this game stays close for too long, it's not going to feel good.
Anyways, under Fitzpatrick, they've scored more.
This is true.
This season.
This is true. Moving on.
Our next game is the Carolina Panthers at 4-7 heading to Minnesota to play the 4-6 Minnesota Vikings. Carolina's first round pick. I have them taking Patrick Surtain II, cornerback out of Alabama.
Surtain.
Sure. And second round pick, I have them taking Chaz Surratt, linebacker out of UNC. So I will say that Chaz Surratt shares, I believe, a brother that I also had going in the second round to the Raiders, Sage Surratt, wide receiver.
That's fun.
Yeah. I think they're brothers. I mean, they have the same exact spelling for their last names.
So. You would think, but who knows? Do they go to the same school?
No. One goes to UNC, one goes to Wake Forest.
No, yeah. both North Carolina schools, at least.
Wake Forest is North Carolina?
Yeah.
Why did I think it was Florida? What the heck?
Yeah, yeah, because... Yeah, anyways, no, it's in North Carolina. Moving on to the game.
Nope, Minnesota's first-round pick. I have them taking Sean Wade, cornerback out of Ohio State, and they don't have a second-round pick.
Indeed not.
I think they lost it. I don't remember. Where did they lose it?
Don't know.
I was going to say in the Stephon Diggs deal, but that doesn't make sense, and the Bills don't have two second-round picks, so.
Couldn't tell you. If you told me, I would have looked that up, but sorry. Not looking it up now.
Oh, well. This is an interesting game. The Minnesota Vikings are coming off a loss at the... Who did they lose to last
week?
It was a team they shouldn't have lost to.
It was the Cowboys, wasn't it?
It was. It was the Cowboys. They lost to the Cowboys last week. And I maintain that the Panthers are an underrated football team. And despite being on the road here, I'm going to take them to win.
What?
Yeah.
Well, if they win, that's the end of the line for Minnesota. Like, Minnesota could end up sneaking into the, like, one of those three wild card spots
at, but they need at to lose pace. Like a maximum of one more game.
One or two, but the point being, because the NFC is not nearly as top heavy as the AFC. What? Am I wrong?
I feel like you got the wild card teams, like, you know, the Rams and the Cardinals and who's the last one right now? Who's the last? The Bucks. They're not getting in there. I'm sorry. They have to win the division to get in the playoffs, in my opinion. They're not.
So right now, the three wild cards are Seattle, Tampa Bay, and Arizona.
Right, with the Rams winning that division. So, look at those three records and then look at the Vikings record, and they're not getting in, man.
It doesn't look like it, but either way, if they lose this game, they're definitely not making it in.
Right.
I feel like kind of coming off, you know, the same argument you're utilizing for the Dolphins against the Broncos, coming off of that Broncos loss, you know, you don't think they're going to lose to an inferior team again. And I agree with you that the Carolina Panthers are a better team than their record might suggest, but I don't think they're a better team than the Minnesota Vikings. Now, with Thielen out, that does make things a little interesting on the offensive side of the ball.
I would say if McCaffrey's playing, Panthers would be a pretty solid.
Right, but he's not going to be playing, so that's kind of a moot point.
Right.
Either way, I just don't feel like that the Panthers' defense has enough to kind of stop Minnesota, even.
I think this is a Dalvin Cook shootout.
Yeah, probably. But I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings, so we differ again, and we move on to the next game.
Our next game is the Arizona Cardinals at 6-4, heading to New England to play the 4-6 Patriots. I have Arizona in the first round taking Christian Barmore, defensive tackle out of Alabama, and their second round pick being Eli Howard, defensive end out of Texas Tech. For New England, I have them taking in the first round Rashad Bateman, wide receiver out of Minnesota. And second round, Zach Wilson, quarterback out of BYU.
So Zach Wilson is the next Tom Brady for you.
No, 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 I never said that.
Oh. But that's who they're going to take.
Yes.
Hmm. Interesting.
It's hard to replicate Tom Brady.
Well, this New England Patriots team, man, they have no weapons on the offensive side of the ball with all the injuries that they're dealing with. They've just added three more guys to the IR. I mean, Bird and some other dude are like the main wide receivers there, and it's just like N'Keal Harry maybe, and it's like that's not going to get it done. Arizona Cardinals are firing on all cylinders on the offensive side of the ball, and the Patriots defense is not nearly as good as it used to be. I think the Arizona Cardinals win in New England handedly.
Really? Because I'm also taking the Cardinals, but this is just one of those games where you could just picture the Patriots winning and staying in the race for, you know, a wild card spot even. I don't know why. Like, it's just you can't look over Bill Belichick, right?
Agreed.
You can't. And I think it's very possible that the Cardinals will. They are firing on all cylinders, and they play some impressive teams down the line in their fight for the division. You have to wonder if they're going to try to gloss over the Patriots, and Bill Belichick will not be glossed over. So I genuinely would not be surprised if the Patriots win this game in a very contested matchup, but I'm going to take the Cardinals.
Nice. All right. I like it.
Our next game is in question. Baltimore Ravens at 6-4 heading to Pittsburgh to play the 10-0 Steelers.
Yes. So give us their draft stuff, and then we'll get to the game details.
Okay. You're going to have to watch me struggle to say a couple of these names. Baltimore's first-round pick, I have them taking Hamza Nasirildeen, safety out of Florida State.
Congratulations.
Hopefully that's right.
Hopefully that's right.
And their second-round pick, sure. I have them taking another great name, by the way, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yes.
Wide receiver out of USC.
Yes. And for the parents of these people, these kids who are listening to our podcast right now, if you want to call in and let us know.
Explain.
If we're saying the names correctly or if we're not saying them correctly, feel free to call in. Good luck.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, first round pick. I have them taking Pat Freiermuth, tight end out of Penn State. And second round pick, I have them taking Jalen Mayfield, tackle out of Michigan. Nice.
I think you did good with those names.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So this was supposed to be a Thanksgiving night game that got moved to Sunday at 1:15. And then yesterday,
it got moved to Tuesday.
Still part of week 12. Tuesday evening game.
NFL really does not want to use week 18.
They really don't want to use week 18. They're trying everything they can. And Lamar Jackson is one of the COVID positives in Baltimore. Baltimore is in trouble. They've gotten a lot. They've got an outbreak going on there, essentially. Kind of linked back to one of their strength and conditioning coaches who has definitely not been adhering to the rules inside and outside of this facility. He's been suspended. So it's really interesting to kind of see how things are going to be going there. That means Lamar's out for 2 weeks, essentially, if they don't delay this game beyond. Then on top of that, you've got this morning James Conner for the Pittsburgh Steelers testing positive, mm-hmm. It seems. And overall, the NFL has actually enacted a thing where they're going to be shutting down the NFL. All NFL facilities will be shut down Monday and Tuesday, unless you're playing a game on Monday or Tuesday, and then you can go in. Because it has been found out that a lot of players and a lot of staff had family visit during Thanksgiving, so they are trying to keep facilities closed so that there's not potential additional spread going on. It's a little bit of a mess right now, and the NFL has handled all of this, I think, really well up until this point, but I think their backs are against the wall and they're running out of
options
of flexibility. And one of the reasons they're running out is how aggressive they were beginning, right? They moved all these people's games, and it's almost like, hear me out on this, a little bit of a conspiracy theory. I really feel like early on, the certain teams that had issues, right? Cam Newton, like, they really went quickly to, like, say, oh, we'll just change a bye week to this week because we want to see... Well, the Titans too, but the Patriots, I'm saying, with Cam Newton, mm-hmm. you know, testing positive. There's one team that got their bye week moved, right, because of all of this stuff, all the COVID stuff, and because of Cam. It's like, oh, well, we don't really want to. It's almost as if the NFL did not want to see the Patriots play without Cam, and that's why they did what they did. You see what I'm saying? And I'm just
a long way to jump, but
it's okay. it is kind of a long way to jump, but it does seem to me like when they were like so quick to let just change bye weeks around early on in the season, especially it seemed to favor some of the teams that were supposed to be in the playoffs and things like that, and some of their star players that are good for the league. I don't know. It just feels a little weird. And now their back is up against the wall with these two teams. I don't know that they could do anything, but we'll have to wait and see. When it comes to the game, especially without Lamar Jackson, I don't think the Baltimore Ravens have a chance. He's not the only problem. They've got a lot of other injuries, both on the offense and defensive side of the ball, that I don't think that they can keep up with the Steelers. This is a division rivalry, so I wouldn't say that the Ravens are so beat up that they can't hold court and make it an interesting game. I think they can and they will, only because of the fact that it's a division rivalry, but I've got the Steelers winning at home.
I'm also going to take the Steelers. Not going to feel good about it at all. If Lamar Jackson was playing, I would pick the Baltimore Ravens in a blowout here.
Well, I don't know about a blowout, but that goes back to you hating Phillip Rivers and hating the Pittsburgh Steelers, and all your hate is coming out in full force.
The Steelers are not going undefeated in the regular season. They're not. They won't. It's not happening. Sorry. It's not going to happen. Just won't. Almost never happens. Have to be a really good football team to go undefeated.
It is extremely rare. They definitely have flaws, and they definitely have some injuries. So I would agree with you that I don't think that they go undefeated. And the Ravens are the kind of team that could beat them. But I don't. With Lamar with RG3, come on, that's not going to happen.
Well, I am picking the Steelers, but I said if Lamar was playing, I would pick the Ravens in a blowout.
So if you look at the rest of their schedule, next week versus Washington,
it's a win.
Next, the following week against the Bills,
it's a loss.
I think the Bills can beat them. Bengals, that's a win.
Win.
Colts,
win.
And Browns,
loss.
Yeah, especially week 17 if they're resting guys and they already have the number one seed locked up. I could see that happening. Now, if they're fighting for that number one seed and that one bye week, because only one team gets a bye again, right? Mm-hmm. It's very different this year. So if they're in a fight for that spot, that'll be interesting. All right, we're both picking the Steelers. What?
Let me explain why I think the Ravens would win if they had Lamar Jackson. Because Lamar Jackson, we all know he's a dual threat, right? The Steelers can prepare for that. The problem the Steelers, I think, would have with Baltimore is that since they played them earlier in the season, Baltimore's running game has really picked up. Their ground game with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards has increased dramatically from where it was at the start of the season. And I don't think that the Steelers can prepare for Lamar Jackson being a dual threat and prepare for an increasingly powerful running game that Baltimore has. Plus, we all know that the Steelers' offense is not, it's nothing. It's not great. It's
solid.
It's above average, but
it's solid.
But it's not like top five territory.
But it's versatile too, and I think that's where a lot of people don't give it enough credit. Is if the running game gets bottlenecked, they still find a way to get the passing game going. If the passing game gets bottlenecked, they find a way to get the running game going. It's all quiet. It's not with huge stars, or it's not with a lot of pomp and circumstance, or a lot of flashiness. It's very, kind of mundane the way that they do it, but they're doing it, and they're doing it consistently, and I think that can't be overlooked.
Problem is, without James Conner, does that affect?
No, I mean, I think they did it early in the season without James Conner when they had it with Benny Snell. Now, here's the other thing. Let me kind of just blow up your argument for a second, and that is, it's not like Lamar Jackson's the only one missing. I mean, Gus Edwards is the starting running back because both,
True.
J.K. Dobbins and
Mark Ingram
are going to be out. So, sure. It's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't think they really have a prayer.
Fully healthy teams, I think that the Ravens still win.
Yeah. Okay, fair
fully
enough.
Fully healthy. Moving on to our next game.
Yeah, man.
We have the New Orleans Saints at 8-2, heading to Denver to play the 4-6 Broncos. New Orleans, first round pick, I have him taking Caden Stearns, safety out of Texas. Second round, I have him taking Terrence Marshall Jr., wide receiver out of LSU. For Denver, I have their first round pick being Wyatt Davis, guard out of Ohio State. And second round pick, I have them taking Kyle Trask, quarterback out of Florida. John Elway potentially ruins another quarterback's career.
Potentially.
Great. I'm going to take the Saints here. I don't think there's much to say. I don't think the Broncos are going to get back-to-back upsets against teams like that, especially against the Ravens. Or, I'm sorry, the Saints. Still on last game in my head, apparently. Taysom Hill is playing again. Doesn't matter. I'm taking the Saints. End of story.
I will say this. You know, came across the wire earlier today that left tackle Teron Armstead is going to be out. They're also missing left guard Andres Pete because of a concussion. So you got basically the left side of your line is going to be backup players. Now, who they have are veterans, so I think there's a lot to of good there. But I am a little, especially considering how complete of a game the Denver Broncos played last week, I would be a little careful in saying, oh, this is going to be the Saints in a landslide, hands down, blah, 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 blah. I actually think it's going to be a little bit closer of a game than people might imagine. One, because the Saints are on the road and dealing with these injuries and these, you know, and these guys that are missing due to injury or COVID. And two, because the Broncos have started to figure some things out. And I would not be surprised if Nick Fangio's defense plays this offense tough. But I'm still picking the Saints, to be clear.
Okay. Moving on to our next game, we have the San Francisco 49ers at 4-6 heading to LA to play the 7-3 Rams. San Francisco's first round pick, I have him taking Javon Holland, safety out of Oregon. And I have their second round pick being Devonta Smith, wide receiver out of Alabama. The Rams' first round pick, they don't have one. They don't have a first round pick this year. And their second round pick, I have them taking Najee Harris, running back out of Alabama. Maybe they can finally address their need for a running back. The 49ers, speaking of running backs, get Raheem Mostert back this week. It's about the only good news for the 49ers. And Deebo Samuel.
Yes.
That's about the only good news for the 49ers this week, considering they're probably going to lose this matchup. I'm going to take the Rams at home.
I'm going to take the Rams at home, too. They're still so banged up, the 49ers are. And even if they weren't banged up, I feel like they're having a bit of an identity crisis right now. Their offense doesn't seem to know who they are, how they want to fix the problems that they have, or how to pivot off of, we don't have all of our stars, so we can't be who we want to be. Well, listen, that happens all over the league every single year, and other teams find a way to figure it out, and they don't seem to be able to do that right now, which is kind of odd to me, because I feel like the leadership there, you know, with their head coach and their general manager are better than that. But for some reason, it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just that it's too much for them to understand or handle and be able to pivot through because of how many people have been injured. But it's a little weird. I too am going to take the Rams, and we can move on.
Our next game is the Kansas City Chiefs at 9-1 heading to Tampa Bay to play the 7-4 Buccaneers. Kansas City's first round pick, I have them taking Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, linebacker out of Notre Dame.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And their second round pick, I have them taking Eric Swenson, tackle out of Oklahoma. Tampa Bay, first round pick, I have them taking Patrick Jones, defensive end out of Pitt. Pitt typically yields good, defensive players. They're a high-class college team for defense.
Yes.
And their second-round pick, I have him taking Rashawn Slater, guard out of Northwestern.
I think I congratulated you way too early. Apparently, Jeremiah's mother just called. It's not quite how you pronounced it.
I understand.
Anyways, just kidding.
Just you want me canceled, is that?
Yes, she wants you off the air.
Understandable.
Yeah.
After this podcast.
Well, we'll have to talk to our sponsors about that.
True, true, true.
Yeah. Who are they again? Nobody. Right. Anyways, moving on.
This is going to be an entertaining matchup watching, Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes play again after Patrick Mahomes won the matchup last year, I believe. No. The Patriots got knocked out by the Titans. That's right. Maybe it was 2 years ago then. Can't quite remember. Anyways, this is going to be a fun matchup to watch. I don't think it's going to be very close of a game. Got to be honest. I feel comfortable picking the Chiefs here. I just think that Patrick Mahomes is a better playmaker and can do more against the Tampa Bay defense than Tom Brady's going to do against Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't want to shortchange the Tampa Bay's defense because they are good. They are really, really good.
Yes, especially lately, they've been not good.
Well, you know, they've had their struggles, but it's also, you know, they're also put behind the eight ball a lot by the offense when Tom Brady's turning the ball over, you know, three or four times like he has over those two losses, the ones to the Saints and the ones to the Rams last week. The Chiefs don't come in with as dominant of a defense as those two teams have, so I don't feel like the Bucs' offense is going to struggle as much as they have in those games. And then there's the whole adage, and you and I know this because we watched Tom Brady for years, you know, dominate the AFC East. He typically does not have two stinker games back to back. He just doesn't, like, you know, and he's only one person. This team needs more than just him, for sure. But there's some weird discourse going on in Tampa Bay as well. Like, it's like he's Bruce Arians is constantly like
butting heads like, with Tom Brady.
Yeah, they're constantly like, you know, I don't know. He's not supporting Tom Brady in the press, you know, press conferences and stuff like that. So it's one of those things where it's like, dude, you got to back your quarterback at some point. Anyways, all that to say, this is a tough game for me to pick because I don't feel like it's as cut and dry as, yeah, the Chiefs are the better team, for sure. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a Jekyll and Hyde team, and if they are Dr. Jekyll, I think this could be a really close game that they eke out a win and hand the Chiefs a second loss, which would be a little bit of a detriment, especially in regards to that first round bye between them and the Steelers. So, I'm going to go out on a limb here. No, I'm not. Nope. No, I'm not. I was thinking I was. I'm going to pick the Chiefs, but I would not be surprised if the Bucks find a way to you know, get a win at home.
Okay, moving on to our next game. We have the Chicago Bears at 5-5 heading to Green Bay to play the 7-3 Packers. Chicago, their first round pick, I have them taking Caleb Farley, cornerback out of Virginia Tech. And their second round pick, I have them taking Brock Purdy, quarterback out of Iowa State.
Good name.
Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Green Bay, first round pick.
Brock Purdy's block party. Say that five times fast.
Green Bay, first round pick. I have him taking Rondale Moore, wide receiver out of Purdue. And their second round pick, I have him taking Andre Sisco, safety out of Syracuse. The Cuse.
Well, the Chicago Bears have seemingly finally come down to earth. Like, we all thought that they would. Like, it was one of those things where they kept winning those games early on in the season that nobody thought that they could win. And it's like, oh, I guess I got to start backing them. And then as soon as you start backing them, they start losing like they're supposed to. And you've got, you know, them going up against a Green Bay team who's coming off of a loss, if I'm correct. Didn't they get upset by somebody?
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyways, I think the Bears are the opposite of the Colts, for example. I think a lot of people are like, oh, I don't know. I could believe in these Colts. I don't know. I think you have to believe in the Colts based on what they're doing week in and week out.
I refuse.
Whereas, I know you refuse. It's like beating a dead horse with that conversation. But I think with the Bears, I think that reality has definitely set in. They're going back to Mitch Trubisky due to a injury to Nick Foles.
Correct.
That's concerning.
Be fair, Mitch Trubisky is undefeated this season.
Fair enough. P.S. The Packers did get upset last week by the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Oh yeah, the Colts team that's so bad.
Yep.
It's awful that they beat one of the contending NFC.
By the way, Packers fans.
Yes.
What are you doing? Death threats, really?
Yeah, you can't give death threats to your guys. It's just
like, not to mention, like, just 2 weeks ago, you were praising Marquez Valdes-Scantling for, like, making an insane catch and, you know, helping them win, and then now you're sending him death threats for fumbling.
Not to mention, this is a game. Settle down. This is just a game. It's a game. Your life does not depend on Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Scantling. I can't even say his name right. Fumbling the football. It's not going to make COVID worse, for example. Him fumbling the football won't make COVID worse. Settle down.
Well, I mean, that's one more person that had to touch the football, the defender.
Wow. Good call. Anyways, we're both picking Green Bay, and I don't think there's much more to say.
Yep. Moving on to our next game, we have the Seattle Seahawks at 7-3 heading to Philly to play the 3-6-1 Eagles. Seattle, they don't have a first-round pick, so they didn't take anyone. Second-round pick, I'm taking Darius Stills, defensive tackle out of West Virginia. Philadelphia, first-round pick, I had him taking Creed Humphrey, center out of Oklahoma. Second-round pick, I had him taking Tylan Wallace, wide receiver out of Oklahoma State.
Little known fact, your name was almost Creed. Just kidding. No, it wasn't. But that's
Creed
a cool name.
Hamill.
Creed Hamill. No, not really.
Doesn't have a nice ring to it.
No, it doesn't. No. Hey, before we talk about the game, if you had your pick of another name, like if we had named you something different, is there something you would have liked?
Like Chase.
Chase was my fake name when I was in casting.
Mm.
Yeah. Chase Sims. He had an accent.
Moving on to the game. look, this is not... unfortunately, this isn't going to be a good game. Like, I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, it'll be good for Seattle.
True. But it'll be good for the Washington football team.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
Because it's going to put them in a two-way tie. Them and the New York football Giants will be in a tie.
Assuming the Giants win.
Yes. Come on. The Giants better win. Come on. You're going up with a Bengals team that doesn't have their star quarterback. Come on.
We're both taking the Seahawks obvious already.
And it's moving on to the crush picks. We are going to choose a game that we think is going to be decided by 17 points or more. What in the world is wrong with me?
That's a great question. I've been asking that for a long time now.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Do I have a fever? Just kidding. It's not funny. Mm-hmm. I guess. Not in this day and age.
I'm taking the Browns over the Jags.
Wow. As a crush pick?
Mm-hmm.
You believe in the Browns that much? That Browns offense is not that good.
No, it's not.
They are bad.
Yeah, and so are the Jaguars.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
How can you call a team bad if they're 7-3?
I mean, I'm not...
It's not like the Browns defense is that much better.
Yeah, it just kind of goes to show, like, one, you know, point number one, the type of teams that they've beaten up on and won and beaten, and two, yeah, anyways.
Great.
The statistics,
analysis.
I know, right? The statistics just say that they're not that great of an offensive football team. I am going, this is tough. This is really tough, actually. I don't feel like there are a lot of good options for blowouts, for crush picks. And I don't like taking road teams, although it can happen quite often. I'm going to go ahead and... What?
You're going to take the Dolphins?
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to do it to yourself.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, can you imagine? One, if they don't win. Like, if they don't even win, it would just be... that'd be a bad day. bad day. Kind of leaves me with either the Rams or the Packers, and I think I'm gonna have to take the Rams.
Not the Saints.
No. I think that game could be close. So
the Seahawks.
No, I'm gonna pick the Rams. Right. I told you I don't like taking road teams. I'm gonna take the Rams over San Francisco for my crush pick. What about tough toss up game? A game decided by 6 points or fewer.
Mine is gonna be shocking.
Oh boy.
Arizona and New England.
Okay. I don't think that's too shocking. I don't think that's necessarily a blowout, so I can back that horse. I'm gonna go with Kansas City and the Buccaneers as mine.
I almost picked that as my crush pick.
All right. Wow.
I'm joking.
We totally see things differently sometimes.
I'm joking.
Okay, well, we will see if these games, hopefully they all happen. Things are a little crazy right now, and with Thanksgiving behind us and a lot of people traveling, hopefully the virus does not get out of control and affect the NFL or any of your lives, those of you who are listening, or our life. But other than that, you got anything else?
Nope. Just good night. And have a good football week.